Blog Talk Radio.
You ready? Let's do it.
What's going on, Big Rick?
I'm gonna say, you know, definitely enjoy the weekend. You know, so,
oh, yeah.
You know, hey, you know, just came, as you probably know, we just came back from Fox Woods today. So, we came back from Fox Woods.
Oh, and, Lord. How much money you make for it?
He's like, father, like, I didn't even get really that much time to, like, really gamble. Really, I was like, and then my friend was like, yo, we got to go back just for that. And he was like, oh, $1 blackjack table? Oh, yeah, we got to go back. I'm like, yeah, bro.
Right. Right.
So that's
right. Right.
You know,
right.
What's going
right.
on over there? What's going on over there, Ferry?
Man, you know how it is. This is, oh man, it's been hot. Man,
yeah.
It's just been really, really hot, and I'm trying to get used to this heat for the summer so far. And if this is any the indication of how the summer is going to be, it's going to be a scorcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a scorcher. But it's a real sports show going into another week. Rick Frizz, first thing we want to do is definitely send our condolences to Muhammad Ali's family. It was, that was just like a, I don't know, it was like a punch in the gut when I found out, you know.
Ooh.
And knowing he's been sick for so long, but you know, you still look at the man like, I don't know, I really started to reflect. You know, you heard a lot of people talk about Muhammad Ali and everything like that. And this man was an icon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to me, there would be no trash talking if it wasn't for Muhammad Ali. He was the king of trash talking. He was the king of promoting.
Yeah.
He was a humanitarian, one of the best boxers that will ever live. I don't care who comes up and do anything right now. It's very hard to dismantle this man's career.
He brought a flair, and he brought, you know, show business to, you know, boxers. You know, he talked about, you know, he just talked about, you know, the way he just, like you said, the trash talk. It was just on another level, and he brought excitement. And also for his, you know, you know, it made them like, you know, it was like, you know, before my time, but you definitely read up and know your history. You know, it was just different, you know, it was just how he felt and, you know, like you said, for humanitarian and things that he did as far as and not just outside of boxing. And, you know, you just watch some clips and things like that and you can just laugh. But I mean, definitely, I understand you want to punch in the gut, but also for you just look at it and you say, at least he lived his life, though.
Right.
He lived his life.
And not just he lived his life the way he wanted to. The way he wanted to, you know, and that really, to be honest, Rick, that woke me up and was like, okay, Frank, you're playing with opportunity. Our opportunities are so much easier than the opportunity he had, and he overcame all the adversity, anything that went on to be able to be who he is now.
True. Definitely. Yeah. If you look at him, like I said, and you know, as long as, you know, you said, like I said, if he was sick, you know, for, you know, a period of time, and you look at him and you say, it's kind of that, you know, he's not suffering anymore. He doesn't have to suffer. He's not even suffering anymore. then also now, you know, he can, you know, finally release him. But he was, you know, he lived that life, and, you know, that, you know, 74, you know, is a long time.
Right.
A lot of us hope that we get there and then some.
Exactly. And, you know, the biggest thing is he's been battling his Parkinson's he's been still fighting for years.
Yeah.
You know?
When you hear the stories for him, like, after all, for organs failed, his heart was still pumping. So, you know, it shows what kind of a fighter, you know, what kind of fighter he was.
Right. Right.
So, it's
right. And you know, so, I mean, it's so hard to say, you know, I can't even, you almost would have to talk a eulogy on a sports show just to, for us to say our, you know, our condolences to him. It's from the sports aspect, from a humanitarian aspect, from a person, not just a black rights, but of human rights that he stood for, you know. And and I remember, because when I was a senior in high school, I went through my big fight to power Muslim stage, and, you know, and I used to, you know, he said something that was powerful to me back then, you know, when he denied to go into the war. He's like, you know, no Viet Cong ever caught me a nigger, you know, so why I gotta go over there and fight with them?
And that right there is true. So first, I got a question. Could Muhammad Ali, would he still be loved if he was, like, during this era?
No. Well, see, it's hard to say, because the type of person he is, yes. Because he's cut from a different cloth. And Jay-Z says it in one of his quotes, one of his songs that I remember still always, put me anywhere on God's green earth, that triple my worth. We got some people that no matter what, to me, no matter what era they brought up in, no matter what adversity they might experience, they're that type of person that will overcome it. And it's not too many people that would do that. And so, again, you know, you'll be still hearing it on and on, and anybody's listening out there and never took the time to really know the whole scope of his life, you know, listen to a lot of the people. I mean, you've had people from everywhere commenting on this individual. Yesterday I got up and I was going to work, and I was, you know, had an ESPN radio on. One man was crying.
Yeah.
Crying, you know, and so When that happens, sometimes you got to step back and be like, how big was he? And I know more because, you know, I'm a sports fan. I'm a big boxing fan. I'm a big Muhammad Ali fan. Plus, I'm a big fan of somebody that is just a great individual, somebody that will go up against the odds and not be scared, you know. So I admire people like that.
Okay, yeah. To his family.
Right.
You know, it's definitely to his family, and, you know, make they, you know, be strong and get through this.
Right. And they would. And I believe they would.
You know, in lighter note, also, you know, I kind of want to take a couple steps back. We didn't get to talk on Wednesday, but last week we both predicted the Warriors to move on. And now, for if you look at it, how do you move on if you're a team like the Thunder? What happens next? You are up 3-1, and it's kind of like a punch to the gut, or like it's kind of like, wow, because some moments, because these moments don't come every year. But what
right.
we saw last year, everyone's going to say, oh, they're a young team, they're a young team. KD gets hurt. Russell gets hurt. They miss the playoffs. They miss
right.
the playoffs. And these, and as much as you keep playing someone young, they get older every year. And that group ain't going to be, can't really be that, like, you know, kind of excuse anymore. Or you can say, oh, yeah, well, he's young, he's this and that, because he isn't going to be 30. And he's going
right.
to be, you know, retired. And, what is next, for Kevin Durant as he approaches free agency? What is next for that team just in general?
Yeah, I mean, we all know. I mean, we talked about it from the Super Bowl with Cam Newton not making that dive that we talked about. And the road getting to where they got to is not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, so you got to look at it as, was it a blown opportunity? Are the Golden State Warriors just that good? Or are they at a maturity level they just can't get past?
Mm-hmm.
And the day that they were down 3-1, I was over some friends' house, and I knew in my heart that they were going to win the next game. But the thing about it, what I told somebody is, at this level, what they're playing at is a mental level. And I remember going back to, I think Magic Johnson was talking about the mentality you have to close out a series. It's a different mindset to closing out a series.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
That's the biggest thing I questioned from the Thunder, was being able to basically stick your foot on somebody's neck when needed to. And this is the whole thing I feel about Kevin Durant. I think sometimes you get caught up on whose team it is and stuff like that, going back and forth. And that wasn't the aspect of it. The killer instinct that Russell Westbrook has, Kevin Durant needs, because his talent is better than Westbrook.
Mm-hmm. So
Westbrook's mindset is what Kevin Durant needs.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
I'm the best player on this team. I'm even close to one of the best players in the league. Once you know that, it's a difference to me.
And I can definitely, I see what you're saying, and I definitely can agree with that. And it was just something where I think that it's a situation where, like, it's kind of like, If you don't close them out, it's the pressure comes back onto you. It's like being a pin. It's like being a pin in the NFL. You go up 10, and then all of a sudden, they score a touchdown. You're like, oh bleep. We up 3. We're only up 3 now. We gotta come back and score. And now it's, oh, they got the ball back. And they're supposed to score again. So what happens is, if you don't close them out, that game 6 really was their game 7. You didn't want them going back to, Golden State. The series was done. And, I want to piggyback on what you said earlier about Westbrook and Durant. But also, they didn't come up big in the crunch time the last 2 games.
Exactly.
They didn't come up big, either one of them. And I think it was more so people were looking at Durant more. Because
right.
they're saying, you know what, this is your team. And I think game 7, he went on a little mini spurt towards the end. I think he scored. He ripped off like 7 straight. And
mm-hmm.
then the babyface killer had to end it for him. But
this is the thing I always say about Kevin Durant. And like we were saying a little bit before, And people always want to put everybody towards Jordan or just things like that. You can't. That's stuff that you can't teach.
No.
You can't teach nobody to be like Jordan. Jordan had that instinct where he, it's the moment, it's the opportunity. I seized it, and this is what needs to happen because I know where I need to be mentally to get to that next level. Everybody wants to be a superstar. Everybody wants to be an NBA champion, but you have to want it and know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Kevin Durant mentally is at that point. It's all fine and dandy to be doing press conferences and saying, "Oh yeah, we're here having fun and things like that." But no, at the end of the day, you want to be the NBA champion. And see, this year to me is so different because Golden State knows how good they are.
Yeah.
It's a different mentality than last year.
Last year,
you know, sort of like, oh, they were down 3-1. They were down 2-1 against the Cavaliers, and they were down their best two players. That's what everybody's looking at. But they didn't know how good they were.
Mm-hmm.
So winning the championship, last year, yeah. Then I tell somebody too. I said, okay, it's like there's no way they can beat OKC 3 games in a row. This team won 73 games.
Yeah.
Why they can't do it? It's like, oh, it's they didn't play 73 against this one team. It's the NBA. And so you're playing the best of the best. And then you forgot. They're coming off more back-to-back games, 3-4 games in a row. So they get on the plane, they play Boston, they go play San Antonio. Then in the next game, they got to fly back out and go play at home against OKC. That's as bad as playing prepared for one team. And they have, and so you have to keep your intensity level up at all those aspects. If they can do it then, why can't they do it now? And that's what they got lost into, you know? And if you really look at the games, Rick, and I know you did, look at it. This was the last three games was the same game that they played against them in the regular season. It was just divided by a couple of points.
Yeah.
And again, it was set up to the role players. I think in game 6, Kevin Durant had 40 points.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook had 31. So 70 points. Anybody else would have said, okay, if your best two players, one had 40, the other had 31, and they still lost the game, their team is better team than OKC's team is. It's just it. So then when they moved into the next round, and I told people, and we talked about it before, the reason why Cleveland had a problem in game 1 is because the road they had to take to get to the finals. The toughest opponent was Toronto. So, and they couldn't stop when Kyle Lowry and his sidekick, when they was hitting and they were scoring and they was putting the pressure on, Cleveland could not do anything with them.
No.
So now you're taking a Golden State team where we know after game 1 showed up, who's bench. Livingston will start on probably 80% of the other teams in the NBA. We already know Iguodala will start on the other teams in the NBA. So you got two players on the bench that's starters, but they're coming off their bench.
Yeah. You saw it in the show at least 2. Look at that number. You said 45-10.
Right.
45-10 when it came to the bench. Wow. 45-10. It was definitely. And granted, you know, somebody looked at it and said that's an anomaly. But also, too, you got to look at Steph and Klay. They didn't play great.
Yeah. And if you would have said honestly that okay Klay and Steph would have 20 points, but they're still gonna win by 15, right? Combined, and they're still gonna win by 15, you would have been like, nah, it's no way. But again, to me, to be the bench was like, okay, we don't have 4 7-foot guys we have to shoot over. This is easy. You forgot where we just came from. We just came from playing OKC. Where even when they went small, they had 7 foot guys.
Exactly. And that's the difference between last year and this year too, Chris, is they have size, but they're not using their size. The Cavs had lost off playing last year. Now they're playing more of a smaller ball when you have Kevin Love and Thompson out there. That kind of suits what, you know, the Warriors want to do. And you look at,
right,
like you said, for instance, the Thunder, Adams, Ibaka, Cantor, they have all this size that you have to bang down low.
Right.
And that was definitely an advantage they had.
Definitely. And it doesn't matter at the end of the day. And this is what I go back and forth. It was 3-2. The next game was going back to OKC. Took a bet over here, took a bet over here. And, of course, after they won, the goatee was like, well, what made you think that they would win? I said, OKC. I said, what do you mean OKC? I said, you're about 90 games into the season. You are who you are. OKC blown 15 leads in the fourth quarter all year.
Sure.
That's what they've done. That's who they are. So now you're trying to get them to be something different. No, that's shame on you for expecting something different. They showed you who they were the whole year.
Yeah.
So was it easier for me? Then I had a conversation with somebody had to call me up. They was going at it with some people at the barbershop. And somebody was in their feelings about Mark Jackson and how it's not right because he actually built the team. And, that, you know, so I had to go back and say, well, you know, to be honest, sometimes you need a different face to get you over the hump, i.e. Steve Kerr steps in 1 year. And like I said, it had to be a difference because in 1 year they won a championship. Oh, well, they were already groomed because they was already moving in the right direction. Mark Jackson did that. Wait, slow up. Mark Jackson didn't build that team.
Yeah.
Jerry West built that team. So you got to be knowing who's pulling the punches.
Yeah.
What? You know, so, and then, you know, I the guy was talking all this in the background, so I got on the phone and said, well, Jerry West built that team. And at the end of the day, you got to look at what they've done. I said, so if they didn't win the championship last year, then you could be in your feelings. But last year they won a championship. The next year after that, they break the record that Jordan and the Mighty Bulls held. You got to give it to them. Whatever he did, I said, plus, Mark Jackson never had Draymond Green come and start him.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first things Steve Kerr did was he put Draymond Green in the starting lineup, i.e. success.
Yeah, and a lot of it, the thing is, it's the team Livingston. Like, look at Livingston. You look at, you know, the game that he, you know, Iguodala. Also, you have Barboza. You have these players. To say that, oh, this was the same team, it's not the same team.
No.
You know, it's not the same team. But, you know, anyone to say that, it's really unfair, you know, to Kerr. And like I said, you're seeing it right now. Why this team is, you know, why this team is going down as one of the greatest teams, you know, ever. And like I said, I think that we're going to, you know, we're going to, you know, kind of mount them, you know, up there. And when it comes to, you know, the greatest of all time. And it also too, is okay, how do we look at, I have a question, and you know, I'm not trying to pick up on the ball. The only reason, okay, this is the reason why. There was anything that, and it's not LeBron himself, it's more for everyone else where everyone else wants to make him the greatest of all time before he's proven it. And it's kind of like how, you know, Andrew Luck came into the NFL career. Everybody wants him to be a top five quarterback without him putting in the work to become that quarterback.
Right.
You know, before the stats come in, they want him to be the second coming. Oh, best prospect since Peyton Manning. And this and that. The same goes for LeBron. It was like, yes, he won. But, like, I know, I mean, to me, the Jordan comparisons, I feel like they've been gone. They've been done for me. They've been done.
Right.
The people still want to see a point out there. And And I think that LeBron, like, you look at him and there's a conversation, like, if he, you know, better than Larry Bird, since I know that you could probably understand, you watched that era. You know, you watched that 80s era. And, you know, you hear some people say, oh, yeah, oh, he's way better than Bird. I'm just like, that's just a disrespectful comment.
Right.
Like, that man was a cold killer.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that's going to be, you know, up a tree. And you just, like you said, for, you know, that bench. And, you know, you have players like J.R. Smith. And probably you know this other team, and you know the Heat, first you seen it, you know they played the Hawks, and they looked like the Warriors. They were hitting threes after threes, and you're like, wait a minute. And it seems though that what happens is this team that is playing are they're streaky. That's a streaky 3-point shooting team. Where like where Golden State is more of a they got shot shooters. And it kinda makes you what's the adjustment gonna be? Like I mentioned earlier, Moscow gave them problems last year. When we go to Moscow and you're gonna give him time. But who do you know take off the who do you fit?
Right.
You know, who do you fit?
One thing and you the key thing that they have to realize is in order for them to win this series, Cleveland, you know, it's going to have to be somebody else besides LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving, Mozgov. And if you look at game one, I mean, Livingston went off, he got his career high, 20 points. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the whole scope of it, LeBron's going to be awesome days. Kyrie Irving's going to be awesome days. But I don't know. If you look at the whole scope of it, it's like, that was almost like their best punch.
Yeah.
We kept Steph and Clay to not scoring, and we still lost.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was all picked up from where he left off last year, frustrating, you know, and LeBron James almost having a triple-double. To me, I've seen him have more triple-doubles in the finals and playoffs and lose series than I've ever seen any other person in the NBA for years.
Yeah,
if you get a triple double, you almost like your team is gonna win that game.
Definitely. Look at also because you gotta look at you know the aspect of like you know, the role players. So also you gotta look at those two players, Love and Irving. There was a stat that they put up there where LeBron. Lou's managing his minutes right. He's taking him out of the game. He's taking LeBron out. He's going close to the half. So, you know, the fourth quarter is in the end of the third quarter, end of the second quarter, so he can get that right. Let me take him out with 30 seconds left. Let me take him out with 30 seconds. So it seems like he's been out of the game for 2 minutes. It's been 15 minutes. So you give him that right, that real-time right. But players like Love and Irving have to understand, Chris, this is, we have to lay it out on the lawn.
Right. And when everybody kept talking, and remember we can go way back when they talked about the Kevin Love going to Cleveland and what type of team it was going to be. And the first thing I said is they're trying to build the exact same team that they had in Miami.
Yeah.
And so if you're telling me you left Miami because of whatever reasons, if you wanted to go back to Cleveland or you thought it was going to be a better opportunity because you thought, you know, Kyrie Irving's younger than Dwayne Wade,
whatever.
But the mindset that Kyrie Irving has is not that killer instinct that Dwayne Wade has. Dwayne Wade's been there before. Dwayne Wade won that title when it was nobody. But I remember that Dallas series. He put that team on his back, scored like 40-something points. And basically, but he didn't play on one side of the court. He played on both sides. And this is where they struggle with Kevin Love. Okay? He cannot score 17 points and allow somebody to abuse him on the other side for 40 points. It's not. I mean, he got taken by every player.
Exactly.
And so his double double was irrelevant.
Mhm. There you go. And that's the point that I'm just, you know, trying to make is those other two that anyone, you know, told me they were missing need to step up more.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need to come to play, because if they don't come to play, like you're talking about both ends.
And see when you look at that game and go forth, and I don't understand the fans. Nobody, the fans that's out there right now, that's rooting against a team like a Golden State team, they're fans up. They're definitely Chicago Bulls fans that they want their team to keep the record. From a fan aspect, I can always understand that. It's always bragging rights. But now you're not looking at the game at face value. Any team of those last three teams from the West will still beat Cleveland, being the best team out the East. Kevin Durant, Westbrook, put so much pressure on you nonstop. And if you look at Cleveland going out through all years, even in the playoffs when they dominated teams, they always go through spurts where they either get lax or, you know, they're not playing so hard, where they go through what we call scoring droughts. You can't do that against the better teams in the West because they find it so easy to score. You know, Steph Curry's easy to score. Westbrook gets to that foul line, jump shot easy. Kevin Durant's just a monster. He can shoot over anybody, and he can get in the streak. They go through less times with scoring droughts than the best team in the East, and you get another team like another San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it before. I never unless something different happens, either, you know, they get the sixth man, you know, some ghost comes out and something happens, I just don't see them beating Golden State.
Yeah. I think that everyone can probably see, you know, people probably say, oh, yeah, closet Warrior fans, and, you know, the way that we've been talking, I just appreciate greatness. And I understand it. And what they're doing right now, even though it's something that's great, but like Steppers, I don't look at it and say, you know, this team can win, especially if they don't win the next game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't win tonight.
If they don't win tonight, and it's a one thing, too. If you go back at one time, I think LeBron James was on the bench, and it's been cycling even through social media, and he was throwing his hands up. It's like that's the frustration, because even when Golden State was down 3-1, they just never looked like
defeated.
Right. And so when Golden State tied it up with OKC, as I said, it's over. The way OKC walked off the field, they started doubting themselves.
Yeah, and that's what happens. First, when, like, you know, I was, you know, kind of alluding to earlier, when you don't close that team out, that team is gaining all the momentum, and that's what I think a lot of people are not looking at. That's what people are not looking at now with Cleveland, because we know, I mean, we're going to say a lot of, you know, as we know, friends, we're Boston fans.
Mm-hmm.
We seen what happened with the Red Sox in the 04. They were down 0-3 to the Yankees. Probably one of the sweetest ever feelings ever. Because you know that we don't like the Yankees. And to be down and do something like that, you're talking about being down 3-0. And the one comes
right
up on the 4-3. It's kind of that same. I'm not saying that's the same, but I'm saying they have that kind of momentum. They do.
And that's the thing about how I was surprised how, you know, Tyronn Lue just let them come into this game lackadaisious. It's like, do you know what they just did? They're on a high right now where you gotta come up and punch them in the face.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta come and punch them in the face. And to me, I think all the, you know, the LeBron antics, snapping the pictures, all doing, that's all fine and dandy and fun. But again, it's a mentality. It's a mentality that you have to have at this level. Him right now, 2-6, I just don't think he has that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2-6, to me, you're doing too much of trying to pick your coach out, trying to get the players you think you need. You need a good GM. You need people to play their position.
Mm-hmm.
And get the type of team that you need. I had another person that says, "Oh, are you crazy? J.R. Smith, he's one of the best." I've never looked at J.R. Smith as being one of the best 3-point shooters in the league. I look at J.R. Smith to be the same J.R. Smith he's always been his whole career, streaky. Oh yeah, here coming, hit six 3-pointers in a row, but then the next five games, he won't find the basket. So you don't need that type of player. You need a type of player like, I'm gonna say this on purpose. You need a Robert Horry. Okay, he wasn't that best player going throughout the league, but in the playoffs, finals.
You had to find him. Where is he?
You better find him. But I think San Antonio a couple of years ago gave the recipe to how to play a LeBron James team. Okay, we will allow you to score all you want to score. We're just not going to let you get everybody else involved.
There you go.
And that's what happened. With San Antonio beat them with Miami, that's what happened last year with Golden State. I think the last game they won, Golden State won last year. He had a triple-double, 38 points, something like 13 assists and like 14-something rebounds. Great game. Stats, you're going to be through the roof. But again, if you lose this series again, you might have to take the King off his throne and put like Prince James and not call him King James anymore. Because – I mean, nobody else would go down in history like that and say, "I'm the best player of the league." To me, too, he attacked Steph Curry. He can say whatever you want to say. People took it the wrong way. I don't think that. I think the attention was not on you, and you tried to downplay that. And like I tell people again, when they say, "How did he get unanimous?" I said, "Did you know Steph Curry was also in the runnings for most improved player? He was the MVP last year, and people were still considering him to be most improved player. So why wouldn't he get a unanimous vote for MVP? If you won the MVP last year and you're in the running to be most improved, it's hands down." And don't get me wrong, it's not his fault. It's the voters' fault for not even giving somebody else a unanimous vote before.
I looked at a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, you know, mentioned, a lot of people mentioned, who was it, Kyrie loved them, but, and then they kept talking on that, and that's why I think a lot of people, you know, they talk themselves into picking the Cavs, because they're saying that Kyrie loves to play, like, mixed that with the fact that they won two games last year and they were up 2-1. And I think that we're not giving a team like the Warriors credit for improving. You just said it. You may have possibly given him most improved. And, you know, the current MVP, because his game approval, look at the defense. They finally found that swagger. They finally said, "Oh yeah, we're really this good. We're really this good." So people are not taking that into effect either.
Right. And see, to me, that's what makes the biggest difference to where somebody's game is gonna go. Let me take an example and then bring into something like I meant to hit you up the other day. Was looking at my phone, couldn't see the game, but I was watching the game cast. First and third, Big Poppy's up. Boom, he hits a home run. It's a difference when Big Poppy steps up to the plate. He knows how good he is. it's a difference. It's like that chicken high school. You know, remember the chicken high school that was.
Mhm.
Remember the chicken high school that was. She knew how good, how fine she looked.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what. She could pull any guy in there. That's the way the Golden State is playing. They know how good they are. They know they can beat any team. They're not scared of any team. No matter what you throw at them, they got a counter for it.
They were down 3-1. I mean, I don't know how much more, you know, because I don't know how much more you can look at this team. So it's going to be easy. Because it's damn sure they're going to be easy for anyone to beat them. They're so good.
Yeah, and it's across the board. People keep trying to say what they need, what Cleveland needs to do or what needs to happen with Cleveland. Golden State is just that good. And not just what they did this last game, but if you go back to game 6, their bench did the same thing in game 6. Their bench did the same thing in game 7, okay? You had Barbosa that had a good game. You had Spieth that came in and gave you 9 points. He only hit three shots, but they were 3 threes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at key times. So I just don't. I don't know. I don't. I won't look at it. And I my last bet I'm waiting to collect on. This bet came midway into the season. It could have been 60 games in, and you know, a buddy of mine bet me that Golden State won't win the whole thing again. And again, he's playing the numbers game. You know how hard it is to go back to back? Yeah, it's a hard thing. But Golden State, if you look at the whole scope of it, they're that good. Let's stop talking about everything else. They are that good.
Yes. But that, you know, that good. Like I said, I don't know what it is that people have against this team. You know, what is up. But for they're you know, this is greatness, you know, that we are witnessing. They can truly go down as one of the great, you know, greatest, you know, teams ever. And the level that they're playing at is just phenomenal. And you know, I think that we're gonna witness it. You know, we have game 2 today. I'm just like curious of the Cavs adjustments. Or do they make it, or will they just say that we trust our defense against Curry and Thompson, and we trust J.R. Smith's not going to only hit at 3 points.
Right.
You know, or they're going to look at it and say, okay, we need to shake some things up. Because, you know, there's another thing, you know, that Harper on too is I feel like, you know, Love and Fry are kind of like the same kind of player.
Oh, definitely. You know what? Definitely. And you're going to get the same. They both can't score together. And this is what happened, too, when they're saying, how did Cleveland win a couple of games last year? Because you had a Devin Dover that had a 20-point game. But he didn't do anything after that game 3 of last year. So, but you need him while Kyrie Irving's there and while Kevin Love's there. So while Kyrie Irving dropped 26, Kevin Love dropped 17, you need Devin Lindova to have a 20-point game at that time with LeBron James 26. But again, it can't be off and on. You can't sacrifice and allow him to have a 20-point game, but Kevin Love only scores 11 points. Everybody has to collectively score. You had, I think, 8 players in double digits from Golden State the other day.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So if you're putting together that across the board for Cleveland, yeah, you can win the game, but it has to be a collective. And then they get into the to me, Golden State made it look so much easier because, again, and I only credit to the last series they had. To me, if they didn't play, let's just say their last game was against Portland. I don't think they would have had – we would have had the same outcome. I still think they would have won, but they were licking their lips. They were like, the tallest dude we're shooting over is Tristan Thompson. And that's one. And if we switch off on him, you had Harrison Barnes like, give me the ball. Give me the ball. I got J.R. Smith on me. It's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mentioned it earlier with OKC. This is the time for if you don't turn up now, and you realize what it is, it's not gonna. You can't. You know, miss these moments, and you got to come out and play. Maybe you need to shake something up. Maybe you sit Thompson, put Mozgov in the starting lineup, and you may start Shumpert or something like that, or, you know, some aspect of that. But I'm not sure. And maybe they don't make adjustments. Maybe they realize, you know, you don't want to be that coach that realized that adjustment two or three games too late.
Right. And next
thing you do, you're about to get swept.
I don't know if Tyronn Lue has that experience. Yeah, I mean, it just remains to be seen. To me, he's almost like a Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett type of thing. He's good for LeBron James because he's going to listen and allow LeBron James to do anything. But if you really go back to Miami, and the difference what happened in there was Pat Riley. Pat Riley, at the end of the day, was like, okay, LeBron, you're great. Shut up. This is my coach. The coach is Eric Spoelstra is a good coach.
Yeah.
And he made adjustments to allow that. Certain times he listened to LeBron, but sometimes while you're playing, you don't see certain things that go on. Okay, so between Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, they made the key adjustments. They made this happen. They made that happen. But I can't do too much. I give them the first title they won, but the second title they won against San Antonio, if a couple of missed free throws, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a Ray Allen on your team in Cleveland. You don't have anybody close. So you had the big three, plus you had a Ray Allen. Ray Allen is a big four. So they keep downplaying it. Ray Allen made the big shot in that game five, came back the next day in game six, and I think he dropped, 19 points. So Chris Bosh had a good game. Again, what we were talking about before. Chris Bosh had the game he needed to have. LeBron had the game he needed to have. Dwayne Wade had the game that he needed to have, but he stepped up. You don't have a Shane Battier who plays defense on Cleveland. So it's a lot of key things that people don't understand what's missing off this Cleveland team that Miami team had. And I don't think LeBron sees it either. He has nobody close that can play defense besides him. And so once you keep switching off, LeBron came in, so, okay, I'm a guard Livingston because nobody else can guard him. But you got four other players that can shoot lights out.
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly, you know, the point, you know, with, you know, everyone is, you look at it for instance, it's like, okay, who got next? Who got what? And you hit a nail right on the head. It's like, he doesn't, I don't know if he realizes, but he doesn't have those intangibles. He doesn't have this, that player that you say, okay, yeah, he can do this. LeBron can do this. LeBron can, you know, but he doesn't have, like you said first, he doesn't have Shane Battier. He doesn't have that veteran. He doesn't have, you know, all that, you know, for his, you mentioned, you know, Udonis Haslam. You know, he's missing that. And where's that on this team? And that's definitely a difference. It's cool you can put a big three together, but those other players, you need them as well. That's definitely, they are definitely the key to your team. You can't
right.
just have three players. You have to have that, you know, somebody that's going to come off and have a game. Because
exactly.
there's some point where you are not, you guys aren't always going to be on.
And it's going to be like that. Right.
Yeah.
And then you need, and this is what I always said before, and this was when I was talking with a guy yesterday about the Atlanta Hawks. You need one superstar that's going to be able to get you 2 points easy when you're struggling to score. And that's the only thing missing. And so I'm looking at Atlanta Hawks. I'm like, I would keep my core team and go strong after somebody like a Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a step in the right direction.
Because as you may know, because they're actually Atlanta is actually going after they're actually in trade talks to get Nerlens Noel actually for Jeff Teague. So, I mean, I hear the response, and I don't know. I think that they may, because I think they may go the other way and say, oh, we may blow it up and try to develop our own superstar.
Yeah, and see, that's just the biggest thing, the struggle I have living in Atlanta now. Wanting to root for them, and they have a good nucleus of a team, but you can't trade a person like a Jeff Teague that
mm-hmm.
controls your team. You know, it's some other players that I would look to try and get rid of, but Jeff Teague, from where he came from to where he is now, he's to me the only person that really has a hunger for the game on the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
He just does. If you're talking about, if you're looking to get one player on that team to say, I'll be the face, or if you say the Hawk, I think of Jeff Teague first.
Yeah, no, but also, too, though, for instance, I think that they're looking at someone like Schroeder. They're looking at Schroeder, and I think that they're looking more so at him taking that next level.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's not a bad move. I do like him, but to me, he just doesn't have that fire every game. He just doesn't bring it every single game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only part I have with him, is he just doesn't bring it every single game. And you bring in a Paul Millsap, and it's just like that was your basic answer to everything? I don't think so. You know, I'm always surrounded by a lot of Hawks and Falcon fans, and they're always in the running but one player away from taking it over that hump. And then you blow up the whole team, and then you try and rebuild, and you still don't do what you need to do. The last superstar we had in Atlanta was Michael Vick.
And we know how Atlanta loved him.
Right. And then before that, it was Dominique.
Yeah.
So, sure. I mean, there's a blueprint that's being developed, and there's more being developed in the Western Conference. And I think they just need to go and get that format and see how that's going. But tonight's the game. Got two more minutes before the show. What's your predictions on the game tonight?
I think that it's tough for us because you look at a game, you see Steph, you see Clay, and you're like, they didn't have a good game, and they still won by 15. I think that it may be closer. It could go either way, and that's why I'm indifferent because if Steph and them go off, they could just blow the top off.
Yeah.
But I think they win by like 10. 18 points today. Steph Curry, you know, asserts himself. He asserts himself, you know, gets a couple good shots early. And I think that they, you know, the Warriors come out on top. I think you'll get a better showing from the players in Cleveland. But I think that ultimately the Warriors pull away.
I think Cleveland might going to win this game. I think LeBron cried enough to the refs. I think they're going to give him some calls. I think it might be tied up 1-1.
Okay.
Only because I think Golden State's going to – they might lax. But, again, it's so hard to predict. It depends on what they come out doing. I still think the series is going to be over in 5 games.
Wow. Definitely. You know, the finals is soon, about to kick off. And Frizz, is going to be a moment, Frizz, where we're about to go through them long days of the summer. So,
you know me. I definitely would like to see a 7-game series. I can't start looking at baseball now. No, it's too much.
Not yet. So definitely thank y'all for tuning in. It was definitely another episode of the Real Sports Show. Yeah, thank y'all. And we'll talk, you know, we'll see y'all Wednesday.
Right. See you Wednesday.
What? Two.